circumstances speak. This is part three. If you've missed one and two, you can go back and get that. Ask for a CD. Go on the webpage or the Facebook page and you can hear the sermon. But the three main ways that God speaks to us is, number one is Holy Word. Two, the Holy Spirit, the Rhema Word. And three, circumstances. But most churches do not teach that God is speaking to you through circumstances. Remember, he tends to work in threes. Notre Dame has hired Peter Buttigieg as a researcher and teacher. This does not speak, this screams. This Catholic, influential, larger than life institution is speaking to you. What is it saying? It is saying, we will adjust to the culture, to the trend. Rather than to hold to the morals of God, we will bend to what the public wants to fill our classrooms. We will promote homosexuality. We will promote the killing of unborn babies with no limitations. This is not a worldly school. This is a Christian school. They're saying we will adjust to the times. Our world is changing. In fact, I don't think it's ever going to be the same. The sports that we have enjoyed in the past has become a political arena. The songs that are being sung, the words that are written on the floors of the arenas now, the things that the players are now allowed to have written on their jersey. They're speaking to you. The employees of the Ford Motor Company have asked the CEO of Ford to stop making police cars. They are fortunate that I am not the CEO of Ford, because they would not have a job. How did the employees become the CEO? How did they get the right to tell the boss what he can or cannot do? Are my employees going to tell me we can't work in certain houses? I decide where we work and where we do not work. And it's not based on where you come from. It's not based on your political views. It is not based on whether you believe in God. It's based on if we can do the job and if you agree to the price. I teach my workers to treat everyone the same. I teach them they all deserve the same effort, no matter if it's a $100,000 house or a $20 million house. If someone is willing to hire us, they deserve our respect and they deserve to have the job done right. Chris came to me the other day. We know he's opened up his new business. And he asked me about advertising for his new AC business. And I told him I know nothing about it. I've never really done it. I go with the God factor. God rewards the way I treat people. Many clients consider me family and will even call me to tell me the news of their family. One time, my heart was broken when a husband called me to tell me that his wife had died and told me that she specifically asked him to let me know because I always treated her with respect and honesty. He said she made a very short list of the people she wanted him to contact upon her passing. One client called me and told me that his father had died. He said he was calling me because he knew I cared. Chris does not need to advertise to be successful. He just needs to care. And he does. This week, someone was taken advantage of, and an air conditioning company went in there and charged them almost $1,200. They had to order parts, and they took a big deposit. And Chris went in there behind them and looked at that air conditioner, and he came out and said, "No, doesn't need all that." And he did a repair for less than $100 because he cared. You see, that's how you can tell he cared. Because see, the setup was there. Because see, if you tell somebody, I signed a $1,200 deal to have this fixed, he could easily go in and say, "Okay, but I can fix this for $800. They will write that $800 check faster than you can imagine. Because that's a $400 savings. But somebody who cares cannot do that. Somebody that cares is going to be honest. Somebody who's God-fearing is going to say the truth. No, here's the truth. His business is speaking. His caring, my caring, speaks louder than any advertisement. We see stores that are no longer in business that we've always known, such as Sears. They refused to listen to the circumstances. Their interest rates were among the highest known, and they choked their loyal customers. If you want to know what happened to Sears, I'll tell you. Now it's they that are choking. We're at a place where we don't want to listen to our circumstances. We all desire the world we knew last year. That is gone. And we face a new world. We face a world that we've never known before. We are ready to protest at the slightest thing that we don't agree with. Fort Lauderdale is a mess right now. They are protesting city meetings because they don't want to wear a mask. You're infringing on their rights. Wonder if those people wear seatbelts. If you're not going to wear a mask, let me cut the seatbelt out of your car. That infringed on your right too. But it saved countless lives. I hate wearing a mask. I hate it. But I love you. I love the people in the stores, even though I don't know them. And they deserve my respect. That's how I feel about it. The mayor of Miami said he was closing the gyms. And protesters started gathering outside of his house immediately. Because we're ready right now for civil unrest. We're ready to rise up at the slightest thing we don't agree with. And if you think I'm wrong, pay attention for the rest of this year. You're going to see civil unrest that you've never seen before. Because no matter what the situation is, there's always a side that agrees and there's always a side that disagrees. And they're storming the city council meetings and they're protesting. They went right to the mayor's house. What did the mayor do? He said, "Oh no. At my house? Oh no, we can't have this. I made a mistake, guys. I'm not going to close the gyms." Our politicians have become cowardice. Do you know why our economy's not shut back down right now? Because of the fear of civil unrest. A verdict was just handing down, and Lord help me, the city is escaping my mind right now, but it was another verdict of somebody who was slain in I believe it was from an officer, and the officer was acquitted because it was a justified killing, and they're tearing that city up right now. And that case never had the publicity that the other cases that are out there have. They're going to tear the cities up. There's going to be civil unrest. Every decision that the government makes right now will cause civil unrest. We're not going to listen to the circumstances, even if it results in sickness or in death. And I still have monos coming to me, telling me that it's not real. Go talk to Jessica for a little while. And you will feel her sadness. As she has patients, and the hospitals are almost at capacity, I'm going to tell you that right now. And the patient, she's only allowed to enter the room once every 4 hours. And they have no loved ones with them. They're by themselves. And they need to be rolled over. And they need to be, but they're getting bed sores and other situations with their skin because they're not being taken care of. And they're and listen, when you're laying in that hospital, you cannot get up to go to the bathroom. Somebody's got to change your diaper. But they can only do it every 4 hours. In Jessica's hospital, I can't speak to all the hospitals, but I know what Jessica tells me. Jessica, how many people do you have in your COVID ward now? 32 since Thursday are in her COVID ward. I would like to take each and every person who says it's not real, I'd like to grab them by the ear and take them over there, and I would if I could. People are getting sick. We're dealing with school now. The school's requiring you to make a decision on whether you're going to put your kid in class or not put him in class a month ahead of time. And people are coming to me and they're scheduling meetings in my office and they're wanting to talk to me about whether they should send their kid to school or not. And I'm like, how can I make a decision on whether to send a kid to school or not until I see what transpires over the next 3 weeks? Oh, but they're safety precautions. Really? And you think our children are going to follow them? Let me explain something to you, Marisol. You have a mask. I don't have a mask. I'm 50% safe. You have a mask. I have a mask. We're much safer. So if your child is following the rules and he's wearing his mask, but the other children aren't wearing their mask, see if I have my mask. I'd like to hand anyone a banana who does this. They put their mask on, but to talk to you, they pull it down. Then they pull it back up. You know which monos you are. I could name you because I'm watching you. Bishop, ba ba ba. Okay. Wear it or leave it at home. I can't breathe. If that's what you tell yourself, then yes, that's true. You're not going to be able to breathe. What about the people like Jessica who has to go into that hospital and she cannot take that mask off for 10 hours? You know what I've been telling parents? I said, school system will be shut down in August. And this week, Miami announced that they will not reopen the schools. They said they're not going to reopen the schools until the economy is in phase two. Maybe, just maybe, we should listen. Maybe, just maybe, you don't want the anguish of knowing your child's in the hospital not being taken care of. Maybe, just maybe, you don't want to have to think about whether your child's going to live or die. But he's not happy at home. Now, Marisol, I have not mentioned any names. I have not put anybody on the red carpet. They don't know unhappiness till you're laying head down on a bed and you can't turn over. for 4 hours. And you crapped your diaper 3 hours ago. Listen, I knew I was going to get in trouble today anyway. It really doesn't matter. I gave that up yesterday. I said it's going to be a long ride home. That's it. God gives us a correlation of the circumstance and the result. We're going to go to Mark 4, 1 through 20. I'm hoping you can see this scripture in a different way. I know the majority of people know this scripture. He went back to teaching by the sea, referring to Jesus. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into an offshore boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, as the people pushed to the water's edge, he taught by using stories, many stories. Your circumstance is a story. Everything that we go through is a story of our life. What do you talk about? The things that you've been through, the things that you've gone through. Those are the stories that we talk about. Since Marisol's volunteered so greatly to help me today, we talk about what happened to her kitchen. That's a circumstance that she's dealing with. That's a story that she now has about the circumstance that she's gone through, and the Lord was screaming at her and me. He was teaching her through the circumstance. Now she has a great lesson. She found out that people who claim to be your friend aren't necessarily your friend when it comes time for the checkbook. She learned a lesson because the circumstance spoke to her. She learned that they will Do I want to use the word? No, I don't. I don't want my censor to get mad at me. She learned that they're deceptive in their contractual, the way they explain the contract to you. She learned a lot of lessons. She'll come out of it wiser, smarter, stronger, but it'll be her story, and she will tell people this story for the rest of her life. Let's go on. Jesus said, "Listen, what do you make of this? A farmer plants seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road, and the birds ate it." What is that saying to you? Sometimes you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be in that circumstance. Sometimes you got to take a moment to figure out where you are, and that's not your battle. We make battles that are not ours, ours. The wisest married couple is one that learns how to pick the battles. Because you're only going to pick what you can't live without. I got to win this one because I can't live if I don't win this one. Most battles aren't worth fighting because they have no meaning. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just and quickly. That's telling you that some of your circumstances have no spoils. There's nothing to gain. There's nothing to win. You're fighting for no reason. Do you need to be in this political battle? Yes, you do, because there's spoils. Do you need to vote this year? Yes, you do, because there's political spoils. Go ahead. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled among the weeds, and nothing came of it. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourish, producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Are you listening? Are you really listening? No, we're not. We're not listening to the circumstances that are surrounding us now. And we're not listening to what God's trying to tell us. He's telling you to get ready. Get ready. You're going to see something you've never seen before. Get ready. When they were off by themselves, those who were close to him along with the 12 asked about the stories. He told them, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom." You know, churches today still teach a literal word of God that does not exist. Jesus has never been literal. One time he said, "There's no more male or female." Are you taking that literally? I'm pretty sure that there's still male and female. I'm not allowed to tell you how I know. Long car ride, Nugget. Long car ride. Okay. He was saying something totally different. It wasn't literal. He was saying that we're spiritually equals. That's what he was saying. To me, to Jesus, he says, to me, I don't value a man more than I value a woman. I don't value a woman more than I value a man. He said, I don't value a Jew more than I value a Gentile. I don't value a Gentile more than I value a Jew. He said, there's no more Jew or Gentile. Where are all the Jews? They're still here. Where are all the Gentiles? We're still here. It's not literal. He's saying spiritually there's an equality. Oh, how I digress. They asked about the stories. He told them, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. But to those who can't see it yet, everything comes in stories, creating readiness, nudging them toward receptive insight. Things have escalated slowly so that you could gain insight. The stories are for you to gain insight. The stories I told you about Notre Dame, the stories I've told you about Ford, the stories I've told you about the Miami mayor, the stories that I've told you are for you to gain insight. And God's speaking through these stories. These are people whose eyes are open but don't see a thing. Whose ears are open but don't understand a word. Who avoid making an about face and getting forgiven. Do you see how this works? Because all of my stories work this way. I'm speaking to you through every circumstance in your life. They all work the same. The farmer plants the word. Some are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the word. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what he's planted in him. When I baptize, I tell people to make sure that they don't allow Satan to steal what God has given them. God has given you a healing. Don't let Satan steal it. I watched Satan steal a healing, and it disgusted me. A lady came in here, and we had a huge concert program called Take the City. And Take the City is an amazing program. It's a bunch of young Christian artists, rappers, and all kinds of different stuff. Not just rappers, but all kinds of different music. And they come in, and they come in with about 10 different groups. And they take the stage one after another, and it's a great concert. We've had two or three of them here at the church so far, and I look forward to the day we can do it again. As y'all know, I had three concerts scheduled this year that had been canceled. And in the middle of this great concert, there's a lady there who has a brain tumor. And so God tells me to go to work, so I stopped the concert, called her up front. Now there's 50, 60 people up front. It's crowded. And I begin to pray for her. And the anointing of God hit hard. And I had about 15 people trying to hold her up. And I just told him, it's not going to do you any good. God's putting her down. And he put her down in spite of 15 people trying to hold her up. She didn't come to for 2 hours. They helped her back to her seat, and she couldn't even function for the next 2 hours. And God had healed her. And she went to see her friends the next day. And she told her friends about the great experience she had. And Satan used her friends. And they said, oh, that's all fake. That don't really happen. You're not healed. And she chose to believe that. And she lost her healing. It was stolen from her. What are you allowing Satan to steal from you? He's stolen your children. He's stolen your marriages. He's stolen your finances. He's stolen your healings. Satan is snatching the things away from you. When you get into a disagreement with a Christian brother or sister, you need to check yourself. And you need to ask yourself, what is Satan trying to snatch from me? What's he trying to take away from me? Because God's got that brother or sister in line to bless you somewhere down the future, and Satan doesn't want you to receive that blessing, so he gets in there and he causes a division so that you can never get your blessing. Somebody needs to wake up. I don't want any discord with anybody. Which is tough because I offend a lot of people. And I will tell you, if I have never offended you, that's great. Hang on, it's coming. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts. If I'm wielding that sword, I'm going to cut you. Marjorie says, I'm the cutter, she's the band-aider. Haven't you had enough loss in your life? I find it amazing how insignificant somebody can do something and then somebody forms an entire opinion of that person over something so insignificant. All right, so they had a moment of stupidity. Been there, done that. So have you. And they make a whole opinion based on a moment of stupidity. And that's Satan stealing. Look at the circumstance. What's it saying to you? Go on, I'm almost out of time. Some are like the seeds that lands in the gravel. Then they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there's such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. We get that all the time. I've had no fewer than 50 people walk out of here on the first thing I said that they didn't agree with. Listen, I'm going to say something you don't agree with. I'm talking to all of you. It's going to happen. What, I'm not in your head? I don't know everything you agree with and don't agree with. Some of you aren't going to agree because it's what you think. You never went and looked in the Word of God to see whether I was right or not. Or some of you may see it different. You've studied it, but you see it differently. Maybe God's showing it to you differently. I don't know. I've had people come in here and tell me this is the greatest church they've ever seen or been in, only to be snatched away a month later. And they have nothing to show for it. Move on. Marisol, how many times has God tried to, or not God, excuse me, let me rephrase that. How many times has Satan tried to snatch you out of this church? Yes? How close has he come? I'm telling the truth. A little harder today, I would hope. I'm proud of her. She didn't take her mask down to talk to me. There's hope for Marisol. Yes, there is. The seed cast in the weeds represents the one who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. You cannot get so tied up into what's going on that you abandon God. God. You cannot justify your actions before God if you're out causing division, hate, damage, fear. Got one more. Actually, I got three more. Temporarily forgot, Ann. Now be careful how we throw this lie word around. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dream. Chris, I'm going to tell you right now, I so believe in the harvest of God over anything you can put in front of me. I believe that God causes the harvest. And I've proven it. I have a 40-year-old business, and I don't know if we've ever been in the telephone book. And those of the world are astonished, and they come to me, and even my accountant says, "How do you do this? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever." No, not ready. Those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. And I simply say so they could understand, I'm not in the world's economy, I'm in God's economy. The virus came and I'm thinking, great, I'm going to have some downtime. Business is going to slow down. I'm going to have a minute. I could use a rest. I can live without all the money. It'll be all right. I have work to the rest of this year. No slowdown. All right, let's go to the next two real quick. Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. There's never been a time in your lives that you need to pray without ceasing. It's right now. And don't misunderstand this verse. It doesn't mean that you continually say a 24-hour prayer. What it's saying is, again, it's not literal. It's saying that you keep your mind on God throughout your entire day. That's what it's saying. When something good happens to you, recognize that it's a circumstance and it's speaking to you and God's doing something for you, and just say, thank you, God. You don't have to get into this 20-minute prayer. You just have to realize that there's a circumstance and you need to say, thank you, God. We had somebody in the church that had to pay a certain amount for something, and then it got done, and then they found out that they had to pay less than that. Thank you, God. Amen. It's a circumstance that God's saying, look what I can do for you. I can protect your money. Thank you, God. You wake up in the morning and you say, good morning, Holy Spirit. You may not have time to kneel for a 30-minute prayer. I don't even know if I can pray for 30 minutes. Little bit of an exaggeration. I have prayed for 30 minutes before. But it's not the average prayer. My average prayer is measured in seconds, not minutes. There's a lot to be said in that. Thank you, God. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all the circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is God's will? I hear that all. I wonder what God's will is for my life. There you go. Give thanks in your circumstances. And I tell people, don't take that wrong. You know, when When Marjorie got cancer, we didn't give thanks for the cancer. That would be stupid. Yes? Can I tell you something? Thanks equals credit. If I thank God for Margie's cancer, then I'm acknowledging that He gave it to her. Wouldn't that be stupid? So when you thank somebody, you're giving them credit for something. But there was so much to thank God for in this circumstance. We thank God for the doctors that we found, the medical treatment that we got, the favor that we got, the protection of the side effects that we got, the spiritual awakening that we got. We had so much to thank God for when we listened to the circumstance. Last verse, Romans 8:28. We need to live our lives understanding this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And I'm getting, as a financial advisor to many, I'm getting all these calls, and it just, they crack me up, because it's, what's silver going to do when the world's collapsed and there's no monetary system and we've had hyperinflation and blah, 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 blah. Hey, we go back to doing what we're supposed to do. We rely on God. I'm not going to tell you that silver is going to do anything for you in a total collapse of the world. That would be ridiculous. But I will tell you, as that we climb up the scale, it's going to value higher. It's going to profit. That's my opinion. That one day I will sell for a great profit. That's my opinion. But see, I ain't got to worry about all that. You worry too much. Whatever is going on right now in the United States, God is going to work for my good because I love Him. And I've been called according to His purpose. You see, I can tell you whether you're a Christian or not in one sentence. And it might be two ands, so I'm not sure. This is it. You want to know if you're a Christian? I'm going to tell you how you can tell. Are you living your life for you? Or are you living your life for God? Christians, true Christians, live their life for God. End of story. Examine yourself. I love people. I'm attracted to people that live their life for God. I like to be with them. I like to be around them. I love Sandy and Manny so much. Because I've never reached their level. Sacrificed their entire lives for God. Forsaken wealth to help others. That's the definition of a Christian. You see, Jesus wasn't worried about all this stuff we worry about. He didn't have all this stuff we have. They were distractions. We become, I'm way over time. Give me two more minutes. We become such slaves to what we own. I had four plumbing breakdowns this week. 4. My garbage disposal broke in Fort Lauderdale. And then it broke in Lake Placid. Then I have a toilet break in Fort Lauderdale. And then I had one break in Lake Placid. Huh? I had to stop and fix all that. Well, I tried to give the bill to my wife. I barred her. But I have to find a way to live more of my life for God than I do. Because that's the heart of a Christian. Victor's over here twice a day. The gardens are the best they've ever been. He does it for God. He's living his life for God. Had a lady move here the other day, and she didn't have a bed or a sofa. Wouldn't you know that we just got donated a bed and a sofa? I mean, what are the odds? And she called me and said, I need a bed and a sofa. I don't have anything. And our men delivered a sofa to her that Saturday, because that she couldn't carry it. Her and her parents couldn't carry it. And you say, these are men that are living their life for God. They had things to do. They were busy, but they stopped to do that. That's the kind of people we have around here. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. I got to go. I have so much more I could say. I love you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the service. In the name of Jesus, amen.